What would you do today if you knew you might die tomorrow? St. Francis. Introduction. To grasp St. Francis of Assisi's spirit is to be liberated. A person can experience it right where they live by embracing the freedom, vulnerability, foolishness, and gentleness that Francis lived and taught. I see this happen when people begin to catch these aspects of his life and pull them into their own lives for the first time, replacing egoism, illusion, and fear. Such freedom can, however, be disruptive. Relationships that are not life-giving can become obvious when before they were easily accommodated. Work that doesn't feed the soul begins to feel increasingly intolerable. Time spent is evaluated differently, especially if one's common use of free time is revealed to be captive to what no longer really matters. People can experience St. Francis on a more metaphysical level as well, as a liberation of the energies that are properly and naturally stored inside them. There are energies inside us that have become cramped and distorted over the years, the result of many negative experiences in our past and present. These gather in and around our stress, responsibilities, and relationships. This is when life feels like it's going nowhere, or is stalled, or we simply can't seem to break through to something richer, better, or vital. Our energies, created for our well-being, are finding no adequate channel for their true activity. For the true activity of the energies inside us, what Christians call the Holy Spirit, is satisfying and sweet. We are meant to be inspired, creative, supportive, optimistic people. If our lives don't feel this sweetness, we need liberation. Francis showed long ago with his life and teachings how to go about this. An analogy helps. Our bodies and spirits are like electric batteries. The mysterious power they contain is latent, just waiting for a switch to be flipped so that a current can move. What it takes to flip that switch can vary a great deal from one person to the next. For some of us, it takes more of a jolt than it does for others. Perhaps it's like the live wires we sometimes connect between a running engine and a dead engine in an effort to bring the dead one back to life. If you are such a person requiring such a jolt, you have something in common with Francis as he entered adult life. Soon, when we turn to the key moments in Francis's life, you may conclude that he was overly dramatic. This may be true, but it only tells part of the story. Francis used gestures to communicate and shows of emotion before others, all in the service of his conversion. This is because sometimes he was doing what he had to do, shocking himself to life, almost like one would jumpstart that battery that's dead, to liberate himself from what keeps people living without life. In other words, he seems to have known that he had to sometimes be dramatic. He wasn't alone in his era as a religious person of dramatic gestures and intensely expressed emotions. The early 13th century was marked by many, for example, lay religious women called Beguines. They were lay religious, not nuns. They lived semi-monastically and were known for having the gift of tears and seeking forms of public humiliation to express their devotion to God. They were more independent than nuns were, but they were religiously intense. These Beguines were sometimes known by other, even more exotic names, such as tertiaries, clupjes, recluses, and anchoresses. But exoticism aside...